Let's open up to the book of Psalms. We've been doing a series for quite some time now. One dealing with sweet spirit, one dealing with wisdom, and then the other one dealing with power. We kind of do Psalms, Proverbs, Acts. So we're in the book of Psalms. I'd like you to turn to chapter 29, Psalm chapter 29. And we read that this is a Psalm of David. We learn in here that God has control over the hearts of men, but also nature. Everything is subject to him. Amen. Sadly, many of mankind is going to find out the hard way, aren't they? There used to be a Fram oil filter years ago, and there was a commercial, a guy would stand on there, and he'd promote the Fram filter as opposed to other ones, and he said, you can pay me now, or you can pay me later, but you're definitely going to pay. Touting the filter. Well, we're going to either pay what we do, not do for the Lord now or later, but we're definitely going to pay. You know, we think we can get away with things, but actually we can't. So, Psalm 29 is basically a call to worship. And the first two verses point that out. So let's start here. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Two things. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. There's two things to give him. Glory and strength. The glory would be making him preeminent. I mean, putting him in his rightful place first. And the strength, really, if the Lord strengthens you, there's a sense of boldness that comes about. It's not arrogance, it's boldness. You're not ashamed to take a stand on things that maybe other people aren't. I told the pastor up in North Carolina, where we attend when we're up there, I said, you know, you say some things that most other pastors will never even touch. And I said, they seem to take it pretty well here. But many times you can be very bold in your presentation all the time, and you get used to the boldness. You become hardened to the boldness, just like you can become hardened to, you know, not being really aggressive. And then it says the glory that's due his name. Now, with that, there's none other name that's deserving of that glory. Amen. All right? So there he says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So in John chapter 4, verse 24, we're told God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is there a contradiction between what we just read and John 4:24? No. Actually, in the New Testament, we have a merely an elevation of his person and describing the holiness in spirit and in truth. They all go together. I don't think you can separate them. So you have the call to worship. We start with that. That's a good thing to start with. And then we come to a storm. Verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. So there are seven times that his voice is mentioned in this chapter. This is the first one. Upon the waters in really tempestuous conditions and of course shaking the wilderness there. So the glory of God thundereth, rolling in the sky. Usually when you hear a storm coming, you hear the storm, the thunder a long way off. You don't really know where it is or where it's going. And then it gets demonstrably louder and booming. And it says that he is upon many waters, all the waters. So the first thing we talked about here, his voice is the voice of the Lord is powerful. Verse 3, upon the waters. Many times, especially in the book of Revelation, the waters are indicative of people. And I think that would not only hold true, but the waters in the Middle East as well. And it talks about the God of glory thundering. It's an amazing thing. When you come to verse 4, we see the second, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, so as you read that, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The power of his voice is directly linked to the word of God. More reason why you should let his voice through his word examine your heart. Because there's power. There's great power there. Many times, one of the things that we dread for whatever reason, and I think sin enters into this, that we don't want to read the word because the word convicts us where we're wrong. When in fact, we ought to read the word and greet the word that addresses our faults and praise him that he's concerned enough to address our faults as well. If all he did in here, if this was just a Mr. Positive Confession Bible, you wouldn't even see anything like this. But God is interested in you growing, you becoming conformed to the image of Christ. That's a long job. That's a painstaking job. And many times, especially when you come into salvation with any kind of a background, there's things that he points you to. And you bristle to them. And after a while, after you get tired of getting beat up, you don't bristle as easy. And you start to welcome these. It's better to welcome them in the beginning and not bristle at all. Anybody that's had any experience in going against God knows the seriousness of that. All right, then the third time that it's used is in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Excellency, honor, splendor. If the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, how much is left for us? None. I mean, why do we magnify man? I mean, why would man want to magnify himself when the Lord is full of majesty? And I don't understand it. But the Lord is... Many things about the Lord here, the characteristics of the voice of the Lord are mentioned here. Fourth, in verse 5 and 6, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, and then of course the cedars of Lebanon. And then about skipping the mountains, making them skip like a calf. All right, so this is talking about the mountainous area of Lebanon. So go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. And we'll look here in verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 9, which Hermon, the Sidonians called Sirion, and the Amorites called Shinar. So when we look at what we read here in verse 4, or verse 5, and verse 6, and then we're talking about Mount Lebanon and Mount Hermon in the northern part outside of Israel, almost outside of Israel, and we're describing a storm that is building from the north. Not too many storms built from the north here. Most of them southwest. occasionally the East, but not too many. Most, so, you know, we don't identify exactly in geographically the same way. But the storm definitely is building on the mountaintops. Verse 7, we see the fifth time it's used, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. I believe that's talking about lightning and the tremendous strikes of lightning that occur. Each thunderous sound is accompanied with lightning in various directions. Let me say this about lightning. Nothing about a lightning strike is arbitrary. It just, boom, it happens. It can be anywhere, and it's just, you know, coincidental. It is purposeful, and it's directed by the Lord. Every time. That you haven't been hit is not by accident. That somebody has been hit is not by accident. And I'm glad that I'm in the not category so far. That's a tremendous amount of voltage that goes through. Now, when we were at a Wednesday night prayer meeting up in Greenville, we had a tree dead set against the side of the house. And it was a bad tree, and I needed to cut it down. I didn't have a chainsaw. And I came home that night, and the tree was down, laying across the fence. And I looked at the bottom, and it was just sliced. And God took it out with a strike of lightning and made a perfect cut across there. It was a burn mark, but it was there. Did a good job and saved me a lot of time. So the sixth usage in verse 8, and we're moving through these quickly because we need to. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness of the Lord, shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. All right. Shaketh the wilderness and Kadesh. So the storm is moving southward. If you look on an atlas, you see Kadesh down from the mountainside, and it's moving into the plains and desert area. Some people even say that it's moving into the rock-hewn cities of Petra. Petra being more over toward Jordan. And those who thought that they could be spared from the storm, as it was in the north, now see an increased intensity where they are. So the dullness of the thunder and the lightning is now increased. It's spread. It's more intense. And I don't know. Maybe you've looked out here to the west, and you've seen some of these, dark, white, dark clouds moving in. And you can hear the thunder. You might even see some lightning. And you're thinking, okay, they're probably going to move right up I-95. And then suddenly they just come across 95, and they kind of spread, and they come south, and they come east, and they go north. And it's just massive. And it's, you know, if on the radar it's the red and yellow, and it's very intense. Well, these are people that were probably doing the same thing back then. They didn't have radar. They didn't have weathermen. They get paid all this money to not know any more than those people back then. And so they're now in the middle of it. Verse 9. Here's the seventh time. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. So this is a storm that makes the beasts terrorized. I mean, they're in terror. The forests are stripped of their leaves, so much so that if you're above and you look down, you could see the forest floor and the ground, whereas before, like any time you have an air shot in a thick forest, you can't see the ground. It's just lush. And this storm is doing all of that. And yet, in his temple, he says, everyone speaks of his glory. Now, it's very interesting. Some people say that refers to angels. Other people say that just refers to the people of that day. I believe it refers to the temple and probably the tabernacle before that, because everything in them was divinely ordered. Everything. Every board, every stone, every curtain, every bit of furniture spoke to the glory of God. Everything in there was. Whereas we know the inconsistency of man, and I don't know that it would necessarily be angels. It seems to be coming out of nowhere. But this just seems to be describing what these places were made for. And it's also, I think, expresses Christ throughout, for God's glory is summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this comes to play in the midst of what's going on. And then we come to verse 10 and 11. And we talk about the supremacy of the Lord right here. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. All right, so 18 times in these 11 verses, the Lord's name, the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord God, is mentioned. King is mentioned in verse 10, and two times God is mentioned, and then along with pronoun reference, it equals 25 times. 25 times. So the great truth in the Old Testament is that God is in the storm. Amen. He's not outside the storm, he's in the storm. In the New Testament, you remember they were out on the sea of Galilee and a storm came up and they were afraid for their lives, and where was the Lord? He was asleep. And they didn't realize that he was with them in the boat, in the storm. And he calmed the storm. Many times we are the opinion, we're going through this, no one else is, the Lord's not in this. Of course he is. He's in the storm. And so the question then becomes, do you believe that he's in your storm? Whatever and whenever that storm is. In life, there are times when above you and around you, the storm rages. Our mountains, you know, speaking spiritually, which we thought were so stable, are made to move from their places. Very things that we put our dependence on, that these are rock solid, nothing's going to happen, and the Lord just moves them like it's nothing. Our trees are laid bare and low, bent over. We have cedar trees on the property here in the back. There was one out here. Every time there was a major storm, there was another huge branch that came off that tree until there was nothing left. We've had these back here to splinter. And cedar is susceptible to storms. And many of those have just been laid bare. But cedars of life are that way as well. The lightning oftentimes seems to rip us apart inside. I mean, it doesn't destroy us, but it rips us apart. And we look, and all is as desolation to us. So what then? Well, look at the temple. Look at the tabernacle. Everything there was designed to praise God as though they were speaking, even though they weren't speaking, and to give him glory. There should be something within us here that speaks volumes out of here, despite what goes on. And it's not that we have a building that is built like the tabernacle or the temple by any means. We don't have that ritualism and so forth. But if the people inside are holy, then everything about it is holy. And we ought to be able to take it out from there. If you and I could get heaven's view of all the events on earth, especially now, because if you happen to hear a radio program or you turn on a TV station, everything is, it seems like every 5 minutes there's new information. And it's not good. And it's not moving in a good direction. But especially now, that there's a storm from a disease raging closer and closer. And where did it start? It started in the northwest, and then it over into the north, and now we see it moving down like before, like in this particular storm. And if we would keep our eye on heaven's view of all this, there would never be any despair. Yeah, we'd be going through it. We wouldn't like going through it. It could be painful. It could be suffering. It could be sorrow. But at least we'd have the heavenly view of it. And if we'll do that, God will give us a share of his strength in and beyond the storm and will bless us with his peace. Isaiah 26:3. What does it talk about? Perfect peace. Why is there a perfect peace? Because the man that is spoken of there had his mind stayed on thee, on God, on the Lord. And of all the people that should be making application to this in our day, it should be us, we who are saved, because we are the ones who God can strengthen. We're the ones who God can bless. The people, I don't know how lost people are doing it. I really don't, because every day it seems to go on. But there, Isaiah 57, I think it's the last verse in 57, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So we're the people that have peace, if we'll look where the Lord wants us to look. I was telling Linda before, I said, only the Lord could have given us this chapter for this night with what was going on. I was thinking, I wonder if I should do something concerning storms and all. But I've been going through chapter after chapter, and I just read it, and I said, no, you did it. You did it for me. You took care of it. I don't need to do anything. I'll just trust you that, you know, this, and I'm trusting you before this. I'm going to trust you in it and after it. And some people are saying it's going to be 2 or 3 years before this subsides. Okay. Some people have said that it was going to rain today. So what is that? They're like their opinions. And like armpits, they all have a tendency to smell. You know? We need information. The information comes from here. I'm glad I can trust the Lord. And I don't like seeing the storms. I'm glad I can see some of them. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to shift gears a little bit. Okay? Father, thank you that we could hear the faint sound of the storm coming. And then we've picked up, seen it get closer. Hopefully we haven't had foundations that can be shaken. Hopefully we haven't trusted in things that can't be trusted. But if we have, we've seen that our dependency cannot be on them, it can only be on you. And we can look to the things that are important. Everything about the temple and the tabernacle pictured our coming Savior. What he was to do, who he is, what he's accomplished. And we're grateful for that. And we who are in Christ, even though we haven't achieved the final victory, we still have the victory. And so we look to you in the midst of all of this and trust you to get us through. We ask you to strengthen us and to surround us with your peace. Be with us as we finish up here tonight. And we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.